As we wrap up soteriology together this evening, and we will move into ecclesiology next time we are together, which is how the church functions, and there's some wonderful insight on that. So we're going to wrap up our sanctification, which is holy of God, both before, during, and after, with a subject that we hear a lot about, and that's called sanctification, within and under the umbrella of soteriology, the study of salvation. You know, Luke led that song, I love you, Lord. When you love something, you pursue it. When you love something, you want to familiarize yourself with it. Very rarely does someone say, I absolutely love this and want nothing to do with it. Very rarely. I know my favorite ice cream, I tend to pursue it, all right? And you can follow that motivational trail all the way up. If you love me, you will obey my, what class? My commands. You will know they are mine if they obey my commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Let me sum up the entire law with the affection of your heart. And the second is likewise unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus was very specific on that, and that's really going to dovetail into the topic of sanctification here tonight, because Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that we are to transform ourselves through the renewing of our minds. You cannot renew yourself by bypassing the portal that is the mind, and the only way to renew our minds into the image of Jesus Christ is to know what He has revealed about Himself within His special revelation. And that is His Word of God. So with that being said, let's jump into this, but let's ask for a quick word of prayer that we make sure the Holy Spirit is our illuminating teacher and not me, otherwise we're wasting our time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that Your Holy Spirit, who indwells us richly, would fill us tonight. That we'd see Your Word fresh, new, and deeper. Pray that for everyone here, especially me. And I pray this in Your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, we hear this word a lot. Sanctify yourself. We hear God has sanctified you. Someday we will be sanctified. And all throughout the Word of God, the pepper of sanctification used in all different tenses is found in it. But the question is, which is it? Is it something God does? Is it something that we do on our own effort? Is it something that is by the power of God alone? Is it something we will only truly experience when we die or are caught up in the air with the Lord? Well, the answer to that question is yes. It's all three of those things. In fact, we can look at a couple of verses, three of them here, so that's more than a couple. That's a crowd. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be agios, to be holy. The second one is this. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That is a very large, inclusive statement there. That which you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, set apart, is what we have here. Another one is this. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we know is distinctly different from the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is that of judgment. The day of Jesus Christ is when He takes His church to be with Him. You see, what we have in all three of these verses, all of them are using the word sanctify in three distinct different ways. Three completely different ways. And this is why it's so important to make sure that we are renewing our minds, that we are studying the Word of God, and applying it and hiding it in our hearts, so that as we study the Word of God, we can apply it accurately, thereby releasing the full power that was intended by the Holy Spirit when we interpret the Word of God accurately. Because when we just one verse, daisy pluck verses out of context and just apply them to whatever situation we want, the Word of God is stripped of its power, and we are found depressed in its lack of fulfillment. We got to make sure that we understanding what it is we are reading. So there are three distinct aspects of sanctification that the Bible clearly teaches. There is practical sanctification. There is positional sanctification. And then there is complete or final sanctification. But before we walk through all three of these aspects, let's just get a general definition of what it means to be sanctified. And when you hear, and this is a question, when you hear the word be sanctified or sanctification, what is it that comes to your mind, class? What is it? To be set apart. Grandpa nailed it right there. All right? To be set apart. Sanctification means to be set apart, a little bit more specifically here, for divine purposes. For divine purposes. By the way, this word is not exclusive to Christianity in that pagans will sanctify objects. Other religions or other belief systems will sanctify things to their pagan deities. In fact, we'll find this sprinkled within the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. One of them is in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, where men and women were sanctified as prostitutes for the worship of pagan gods, separated unto that purpose. So the word sanctified has a very large umbrella to it. And in some ways, whenever you set something apart for the purpose of giving it to God, you are sanctifying it unto the Lord, and that you are setting it aside for their use. Now, biblically speaking, as we find it within the New Testament here, and theologically speaking, God sanctifies His people. And like Grandpa brought up, He sets them apart unto Himself. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In Scripture, we find that God sanctifies all kinds of things. He sanctifies people. He sanctifies days. He sanctifies places. He sanctifies things. He sets them apart for His glory, for His use. So now that we have an idea, generally speaking, a flyover, an umbrella statement of what it is to be sanctified, set apart for the use of God, for His glory, for His honor, not our own, we can apply it, and that it can apply to just about anyone and anything, and just about any action, by the way, as long as it's set apart for divine purposes. Let's take a look at the three aspects of sanctification as we wrap up our study of salvation found within the Word of God. And the first one here is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification here as we renew our minds. This concerns having been, and here's the words Grandpa or Joe brought up, set apart unto God in Jesus Christ. It is our positional standing before God. It is something that God does for us. We have absolutely no part in positional sanctification. We've studied that in pneumatology, in the pre-salvational work of God the Father with the Holy Spirit, that He gives man the ability, as dead in Christ, or not dead in Christ, but dead in his sins, to respond to salvation. All right? But more than that, it's all of God. He brings us to the point, He imparts salvation, and He brings it at the end. It is something that God does for us by His own power. We have nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with maintaining it, not by works of righteousness. All of them are filthy rags. It is a one-time action, and here it is, that's very important, that lasts forever. In fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, we studied that a few weeks ago, when Paul said, to all of the agios, to all of the saints, to all of those who are set apart positionally in Jesus Christ. Now, a couple things we need to note here. This kind of positional sanctification takes place at salvation. As a result, it is permanent state and it cannot be taken away. It is the instantaneous work of God the Father, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, based on what we do with the death, burial, and resurrection of a sinless God-man and His work on the cross of Calvary alone. We had, unbeknownst to you, we had some visitors here this morning that, by the way, thought you were the Barrys. And they loved the church, they loved the music, they loved the how friendly everyone is. And they said, "But I have one question for you. One question for you." And I said, "Sure, you know, what is it? You know, please feel free to ask anyone but me, and we would love to answer that question for you." And they said, "Well, we hear what you're saying this morning when we talked about faith in Jesus Christ alone. But I believe that there are times when God the Father wants to spend eternity with people who may not have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe they placed their faith in Hinduism or Mormonism or whatever the case may be, another denomination, or whether it's a saint or it's a Mary. And God can choose to save those who have done nothing with their son simply because he wants to spend eternity with them. And I said, well, you're right on one respect. God wants to spend eternity with all of his created children. It is his desire that how many would perish, class? None. I said, but you need to understand something here. And I say this without apology, but with humility. You're asking a question, so we're going to give the answer. We believe here that your eternity is based alone on what you do with the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. No one comes into the Father except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus Christ is everything. And so, they told me they hated me. No, I'm teasing, they didn't. We had a good time, but it is an instantaneous work based on the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and placing our faith in them alone. It belongs to every saved person alike, regardless of their daily spiritual life. Even after your greatest failure. Now, I don't know about you, but I know those moments in my life. And I know right now, just by the words echoing out of this PA system, there are those of you who are reminded of your greatest failures in life. Positional sanctification never moves. It is for every saved person, regardless of their spiritual state right at that moment in time, even after your greatest failure, you are still holy. You are still pure. You are still sanctified because of Jesus Christ. Amen, class? It's yours until the day of redemption. Another one, it makes every believer a saint or a holy one. 1 Corinthians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1. We talked about that earlier in our study as we've been walking through the book of Philippians. So that is positional sanctification. My grammar is getting worse here. The person who has known Jesus Christ for 50 years and loves them with all of their heart, and a person that has just received Jesus Christ and is battling with the most grotesque sin in their life are equally sanctified positionally in Jesus Christ. Now let's move into practical sanctification, because there is a distinction between that. This concerns a believer's condition in their daily life. Since God is holy, He would have us to be increasingly expressing His holiness. Be holy, for I am holy. Obey me, love me. What is holiness? It is moral perfection. None of us here have obtained, nor will we ever obtain, while we are in this tent that Paul says we groan in, none of us will experience moral perfection in this life, which is, by the way, sinlessness. And if anyone here can literally say, I am at the present time, in not in original sin, but in actual daily sins, absolutely sinless, I will give you the pulpit right now. Anyone at all? None of us will be there. Practical sanctification is something, by the way, that we contribute to through hard work and dependency on God. Saying no to sin, yes to God, loving Him, trusting Him enough, and abandoning ourselves and living for Him. We express this type of sanctification, which is setting ourselves apart unto God, by separating ourselves from that which is morally unlike God. To step away, to separate ourselves from that which is unlike God. And yield ourselves to Him and His will. Romans 6, Romans 12, the renewing of our mind, being transformed, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices. In short, practical sanctification means to become more like the moral character of God. We reflect who He is in our lives by saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. Now note, we talked about this briefly, I'll hit it briefly. This aspect of sanctification takes place throughout a believer's life. In this life, we will never reach a place where we have no further need for more sanctification, no further need to be more separated from sin and closer to God. Now, why is this? Why is it in this life we will never be able to reach complete practical sanctification? Because the reason that is, and the answer is found in the object of who we are trying to become like. Who are we trying to become like, class? Who is He? Christ. Jesus. Who are you? You got Jesus, who is infinite, holy, sinless, perfect, separated, has never known sin, and then there's you. How big of a gap is there, practically speaking, between the perfection of Jesus Christ and you? How wide is that gap? Talk to me. Infinite. Practically speaking. We will never on this side of death be perfect. Well, if this is the case, then how in the world do we measure practical sanctification if we never fully reach it, which is pure holiness? How then do we measure spiritual growth and becoming more like Christ? Well, practical sanctification is measured by the increase in the frequency and duration of our holy living. In short, simply put, you sin less. And there's more time in between your sins, having victory over specific sins. If I were a perpetual liar, stop, okay? If I were a perpetual liar, and every time I opened my mouth, every time I lied, which would tell you what profession am I in? Talk to me. Politics, all right? Every time, boy, you guys just nailed that out of the park. Every time, at least you didn't say Baptist minister, right? Every time I opened my mouth, I lied. And then I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and received positional sanctification as a holy one in Jesus Christ. And now I'm into practical sanctification and becoming more like Him. How is it that I could see growth in my life if I lied less as time went on? Until I could go days and weeks without lying. My practical sanctification is not perfect by any means, because I'm going to fail. There's going to be those moments. But growing to reflect the nature of God by sinning a little less as time goes by shows what we call that fancy word, progressive sanctification, progressively becoming more like the moral character of God. It involves us, by the way, also, it involves our separation from sin as well as our dedication to God in doing His will. That's where we see practical sanctification. Now, unlike positional sanctification, where a believer is declared holy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and all believers are equally saints in the eyes of God, practical sanctification varies from person to person. It varies from person to person in this way. Some people are more sanctified than others. Why are they more sanctified than others? Maybe they had more time growing and walking. Maybe they've gone through more battles. Maybe there's been time when they are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. In that their sin is less frequent and have longer periods of holy living. People who are further along in the practical sanctification are more like Jesus in their conduct. I want you to think of the most godly person you know. Man, when you think of a saint, as we understand it here, and we know that positionally we are all saints, but practically speaking, when you think of someone who is saintly, what are some names that come to your mind? What are some names? When I say, I want to hear about the most godly person you know, what are some names that come to your mind? Talk to me. Grandpa Joe, who said that? Okay, you really don't know him, do you? No, I'm teasing. Grandpa Joe.
Bill Stevens.
Bill Stevens.
Helen Stevens.
Helen Stevens. Oh, the Stevens, all right. No, the Stevens. They are wonderful people. And I'm a little upset at them because they moved away because of their health, and they got healthier as they moved away. Not completely, but what are some other names?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. Okay. Anyone else? I heard a mom. And Mamima Mama. All right? Anyone else? Now I want you to think of the most ungodly Christian you can think of. Stop. In this room, Give me their name. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Please, I don't need a series of breaths coming up here. Now, here's the question. The most godly Christian you know and the weakest Christian you know, let's put it that way, a baby Christian, are they both equally sanctified positionally in the eyes of God? What is the answer, class? Yes, they're holy. The imputed righteousness of Christ stands. But here it is. Are they both just as godly? No. That's practical sanctification. Practical sanctification will vary by believers based on their love. I love you, Lord. I'm not going to sing it. Based on their love and growth in Jesus Christ, practically speaking. In fact, I want to note some differences here. Mike, let's throw these up one at a time. Positionally, it's our standing in Christ. Practically, it's our condition of life. Number two, over here, it occurs at salvation and it occurs throughout your entire life. You will never, ever stop in practically separating yourself from that which is contrary to the moral character of God and His righteousness. Another one, number three, it is God's instantaneous work versus God's progressive work in your life. I got to go over here for this one. It is complete and absolute. It's over with. You are holy. You are imputed. You are set apart. And on practical, it is incomplete and it is relative. So now we're going to number five. It is the same for every believer. It varies in every believer. And I'll stay here for number six. It makes every believer a saint and makes believers more saintly. All right? You're saying, I am bored out of my mind. I got good news for you. We're almost done. We're going to apply it and go home. Here's one last thing, and it is called complete or final sanctification. Those who are saved will experience complete holiness at the return of our Lord when He comes for His church. Philippians 3, 1 John chapter 3, Matthew speaks about this. From then on, we will be holy in our condition as well as our position. All of a sudden, this positional and practical, there'll be no gap, and we will be just as holy in our condition as we will be in our position. In short, when we die or the Lord returns, our condition will match our position in God, for our bodies will experience redemption. We shall be brought into complete conformity. That's the word you want to hang on to. Complete conformity to the character and human nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for we shall be as He is. So with all this being said, here we go. We're going to play a little game here, all right? I know you love games. This has got to be the most exciting game you've played today. With all this being said, we're going to return to the three verses that we started with this evening. Understanding the difference between the three aspects, I want you to look at these three verses we started with and apply what you just learned. And I want you to draw a line from the verse to the aspect of salvation or sanctification it belongs to. So we're going to start, not yet, Mike, but with practical sanctification. We'll do one at a time. Practical sanctification, which of these verses, number one, number two, or number three, is practical sanctification defining here? Two. Mike, let's throw the line up there. Dun, dun, dun. Yep, it is two. It is God's will that you should be set apart in your conduct. Well, let me give you an example. You should avoid sexual immorality. Learn to control your own body. How many would say that takes personal effort? Anyone at all? To control your desires? To control your body? That's practical sanctification. So that it is, there's that word, holy, set apart, and honorable unto God. Now we're going to move to positional sanctification. What number does that go to? Now you've got a 50% chance. Number three, Mike, let's go. Number three here, which will automatically fire final. Positional sanctification to the church of God in Corinth, to those permanently, forever, positionally sanctified in Jesus Christ and called to be practically sanctified, but positionally sanctified. And then finally, final sanctification. Now that the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. How? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the three aspects of sanctification. And that's why it's so important to study God's Word, so that as we read through it, we're just not satisfying the checklist of our daily devotional guilt trip. But that when we close the cover, we are renewing our minds, understanding His Word, being transformed into what He has called us to be. More pure and holy. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. May we be students of it. We thank You that we are sanctified. We pray that You will assist us in being sanctified. And we thank You that one day we will be sanctified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now go sanctify yourselves. Love you guys. Have a good week.